Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin, Dav Vav, and we will begin in Dav Vav on an Aleph, four lines from the top. On my time, it goes Rabban. We had learned at the end of the previous shiur that Rabbi Gamliel had made a takana, made a gzeira, that we should not accept the shechita of kutim. Ask them, my time goes by Rabbanan. Why did Rabbi Gamliel make such a gzeira? Said the Gemara, Kahad Rav Shimon ben Elozer, Shadre Remeya. Rav Shimon ben Elozer once sent Remeya, Lasuye Chamer Bekutoyu, to bring wine from the Kutim. Ashkeche Husaba, as he was traveling, he met an old man. Interesting to point out that Taisha says that typically when we find in Shas the somebody called a Husaba, it means Elio Hanovi. But then Taisus actually says that it isn't necessarily so, because Taisus quotes a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, a well-known Gemara, that when Rav Shimon ben Yochai came out of the cave and he saw that there was a cemetery where Kohanim were going, and we know Kohanim may not go through a cemetery, Rav Shimon ben Yochai went and determined which part of that field was Tamei and which field part of the field was Tahar. So the Gemara says there was the Hahu Saba, there was the Saba that said about Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Tir ben Yochai beis akvaris, in a derogatory way, and Rav Shimon ben Yochai caused that person to pass away. So it's hard to say that individual who was saying such things about Rav Shimon ben Yochai was Eliyahu HaNavi. And therefore Taisus is not quite certain when the Gemara uses the words Ahu Sava, does it or does it not mean Eliyahu HaNavi? I saw that the Tferes Yaakov wants to make the following distinction. He says that when we have the Gemara mentioning Ahu Sava, that this Sava standing amongst other individuals, then it isn't Eliyahu HaNavi. But when, like in Al Gemara, we only have the Sava, not amongst any other individuals, then we could say that the Hu Sava means Eliyahu HaNavi. So the Sava met him going to get wine from the Kutim. Amalei, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, V'samtem sakim b'lecha im bal nefesh ata. A person who's a bal nefesh should not buy wine from the Kutim. He went and repeated what happened to Remeya, and he made a gzeira that indeed wine should not be used from the Kutim. My Tama, Amrav Nachman Yitzchak, the Mus Yoin and Matzlahem Barosh Agrizim, they found a worship, they were worshipping a sculpture of a dove on Hagrizim, Shoya Ajdamasai. Remeya Tamei, and Remeya is following his opinion, the Chai Shemuta, and therefore, even though it was only a small group of people that were worshipping the Avodah Zarah, we'll explain this more in a moment, because Ruba Atmiyata, so that's what Remeya said, that one should treat the Kutim like Goyim, and we can't drink from their wine, or eat from the Shechita. And the Gemara says, from Gamliel Ubeis Dinoi, Namik Remeya Sfirlei, but Gamliel and his Bezdin agree with Remeya. So the Gemara says that a Baal Nefesh should be machmer in certain areas of halacha. Who exactly is a Baal Nefesh? I saw machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say that any Adam kosher, any person that acts appropriately, is considered a Baal Nefesh. Others say that a Baal Nefesh is a chassid. Somebody who acts with nim mishurus adin is considered a Baal Nefesh. Furthermore, the Paiskim discuss. On one hand, we clearly see in our Gemara that a person should try to be machmer wherever possible. But then on other areas we find that a person is not supposed to be machmer when you're not supposed to be machmer. The famous Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, we know there's a machlokes in Masechta Brachos between Beis Sham and Beis Hillel, how one is supposed to sit or stand or when he says Krishma. And Beis Sham says the Krishma should be said either lying or standing, and the Shulchan Aruch said the one is not allowed to follow the Chumradigger approach of a Shammai. Yet our Gemara is teaching us that one may. So the Paiskim give a number of rules. Certainly we know that the Mishnah Berurah says that if somebody is just being machmer as if to show off, certainly it's inappropriate that one should be machmer. Furthermore, Rav Moshe says that if there's no source for somebody being machmer, his chumrah is just based without any, there is no basis to one's chumrah, there is no point in being machmer. Furthermore, where there is a psak and the chumrah is not being followed because the chumrah is going to cause the person to be more stringent and more careful in his observance of the mitzvah. The example of Beis Shammai is a great example. By following the opinion of Beis Shammai, one will not necessarily be fulfilled or be more careful to fulfill the mitzvah of Krishma, then one may not follow something against what is said in Halacha. So the Gemara said what happened was that they did discover that some Kutim were worshipping Avodah Zarah, and therefore they said that the Kutim should have a din like God. Some explain that why specifically what happened here. So Rashi says that there were always concerns that the Kutim were worshipping Avodah Zarah, but now they actually discovered that that's what they were doing. That's how Rashi seems to learn the Gemara. The Rebbeinu Gershom has a different approach. Rebbeinu Gershom's approach was that we know that the Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah makes a distinction between Avodah Zarah, which is worship in Eretz Yisrael, versus Avodah Zarah, which is worship in Chutz Lartz. So until they found the Kutim worshipping Avodah Zarah on Har Gerizim, which is in Eretz Yisrael, they weren't that concerned. Because Avodah Zarah in Chutz Lartz, there's a rule we follow that Minig Avasem B'Yudayim, that they're worshipping Avodah Zarah only because that's what they were accustomed to. Only when they actually came to Eretz Yisrael and they saw that the Kutim were worshipping at Avodah Zarah and at Yisrael, was there a much greater concern. What was the Avodah Zarah that they worshipped on Har Gerizim? So Tosfos points out that was the place where after Yaakov and his children had destroyed the city of Shechem, and they took the Avodah Zarah of Shechem and they buried it on Har Gerizim, and ultimately, it seems from Tosfos, the Kutim discovered that Avodah Zarah that Yaakov buried and they began worshipping it. The Ramban asks, why didn't Yaakov just destroy the Avodah Zarah? The halacha is that Avodah Zarah is supposed to be destroyed, not just buried. Says the Ramban that the halacha is that a Jew doesn't have the halachic ability to mevatel Avodah Zarah, but a goy does have the ability to mevatel Avodah Zarah. Says the Ramban that the people of Shechem were mevatel Avodah Zarah before Yaakov and his children obtained that Avodah Zarah, and therefore that Avodah Zarah no longer had the status of Avodah Zarah, and since it no longer had the status of Avodah Zarah, Yaakov and his children didn't have to destroy it, they were able to bury it. So the Gemara said that Rameir is the Mount Amma throughout Shas, that's Chayish Lemiyuta, and since Rameir is Chayish Lemiyuta, that's why, since there was even a small group of Kutim who worshipped Avodah Zarah, they treated the Kutim like God. Where do we find that Rameir is Chayish Lemiyuta? So Rashi says, the halacha Rameir says in Masechta Yevamos, is that a cotton loy chayitz v'loy miyabin. So that a cotton should not be allowed to do chalitza is obvious, because a cotton is, the pasuk says ish, and a cotton is not an ish. But how do we know that a cotton is not allowed to do yibum, or a ketana is not allowed to receive yibum? So Rameir says, because the halacha is that someone who's a soris or islandess is not a candidate for chalitza yibum, and we always need to be concerned says Rameya, that maybe this cotton or katana will be a Soros and Islandist, even though it's a miut. Baruch Hashem, most people are not Soros and Islandists. Rameya is Chai Shlomiutai. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Rabbeinu Gershom has a different approach to the Gemara. Rabbeinu Gershom says that we're going to find a Gemara later in Am Sechta, Daf Pei Vav, where the Gemara says that Rameya holds that if we find a child holding a piece of bread and he was standing next to a place where there was tuma, there was an ashba, we still don't have to think that the piece of bread is tummy. Even though most children obviously do play with the ashba, and therefore we should perhaps certainly be concerned that the child did touch it, Rameya says we're not choshish. So we see from here the Rameya is not choshish. The Rameya is not choshish lemuta. Rabbi Kiva Eger goes on to explain our Gemara, and he says that why is the Gemara consider it only a gzeira? What the Gemara should have said is that since Rameya is choshish lemuta, so the halacha is that it's actually a real concern. The Gemara only says that it's a gzeira. So Kivager explains that even according to Rameya, that is choshish for miyuta, he's not choshish for it by a drabonon, which is the case over here. Furthermore, here there's a svek sveka, because the svek sveka is we don't know if this kuti is an oivin avodah zarah, and even if he is a oivin avodah zarah, maybe this wine he wasn't menasich for avodah zarah. So therefore, technically, we really ought not to be machmer. Just the Gemara uses the words Rameya made a gzeira. That's how Kiveg explains the Gemara, because of his concern that he's chayish lemiyuta. I saw that the Mefarshim say that we know that there's a minig Yisrael that when, unfortunately, chas v'shalom, somebody is sick, they donate money specifically to tzedakah Rameya Bal Hanes. And the question is, why do they donate to Rameya Bal Hanes versus all other tzedakahs? So I saw from the Michas Elazar, based on our Gemara, because our Gemara is teaching us that the Rameya is chayish lemiyuta. So even if the person's chance of survival are unfortunately very remote, for Rameya is the one that teaches us that we don't have, that even for a miyut we're concerned, and that's why, because we're even concerned for a miyut, we give tzedakah, and that schus should help, that indeed we should have a person, even if he's not doing well, should have a refuah shleima. Along the same line, there's a famous story that had a Noida Yehuda became the Rav of Prague. Apparently, when the Noida Yehuda's predecessor was very sick, and the people of the city, as he was very sick, approached him and asked him, who shall we appoint as your successor? So he said, Efshe Rameya, maybe Rameya. And then he passed away. And nobody knew what he meant. And they decided that whoever will be able to properly interpret what this Rav said, they'll appoint him as the Rav of Prague. And they went around from city to city trying to get somebody to explain what was said. When they came to Reb, to Noida Yehuda, he said what he meant was, you ask this Rav who should be his successor, because obviously you were assuming that he's going to pass away. And what he was saying is, maybe Rameya, Chai Shlomiyuta, that even though it's unlikely that I will have a refuah shleima, maybe, like Rameya says, with Chai Shlomiyuta, and I will have get up, and there will be no need to appoint a successor. Said the Gemara, Pashut to Krabba Maksev, the Gemara quoted this pasuk in Mishlei, and as the Mashar says, Sukkim and Mishlei are never to be understood at their face value. So what does this pasuk mean? Says the Gemara, it's referring to Talmud Yoshua Fnei Rabbi. Speaking about a Talmud who's sitting in front of his Rebbe, the Tanur Reb Chiya. Kiseishiv lochaim es moishel, bin tamen eshel fenecha, v'samta Sakin Balacha Ibel Nefesh Ata. So it's talking about the Mechamtish of Torah. It's talking about somebody who's learning. And the Pasuk is teaching us, Im Yedei Talmud B'Rabbi, if a Talmud knows about his Rebbe, Shi Yedei Lachs Leitam, that if he's going to ask a question, he's going to be able to receive an answer, Bin. He should ask the question. Vim Lav, but if he knows that the Rebbe won't be able to answer, Talkin Hashel Fenecha V'Samtim Sakin B'Lacha. You should know what the right thing to do is. The right thing to do is not ask the question. And however, continues the Pasuk, in Baal Nefesh Atah, if you're such an individual that you want to understand what your Rebbe is saying, and you have a Rebbe who is unable to answer your questions, Pray Shemanu, leave that Rebbe and go learn by a different Rebbe. Says the Gemara goes back to the issue of the Kutim. Says the Gemara, Yitzchak ben Yosef Shadra Bavua, Rav Yitzchak ben Yosef sent Bavua, Lasaya Chamer Bekutoy, to bring wine from the Kutoyim. Atkechu Sava, so the Sava met him, Amalei, Les Kan Shemri Torah. There are no Shemri Mitzvahs amongst the Kutim, and therefore it's inappropriate that you should get wine from them. Holach Rav Yitzchak, the Sipat Varl Fnei Ravur. He went and repeated this to Ravur. Vaholach Ravur, the Sipat Varl Fnei Rav Ami Rav Asi, the Loizot Misham, and they didn't leave. Achu Osam Oivdik Chavim Gemurim, until they were treated like Oivdik Chavim, full fledged Oivdik Chavim. Ask the Gemara, Lamai. Exactly what does it mean that they were treated like Oivdik Chavim? Ilish Shkita V'yayin Netzach. If the teacher says that we don't accept the Shechita, and that we treat their wine like Yayin Nesach, ask the Gemara Mahasam Gozer Rabbah Rabbanan. We've already learned that Rameya and Rav Gamliel treated them that way. So what happened over here? Answers the Gemara, Inu Gozeru Vlad Kibbul Minayu. The earlier Rabbanan, Rameya and Rav Gamliel, had made this Gezer, but it was not accepted. Osra of Amir of Asi, but now Rav Ami Rav Asi made this rule about the Kutim, the Kabbalah Menayin was accepted. And the Machlokes Rishayim, how to learn the Gemara. Rashi explains that what happened was that many times the Gemara speaks about Abzeirush Ein Roiv Atzibur Yecholim Lamikon. And what happened here was that originally when Rav Gamliel and Rav Meir made this Gzeirah, it was a Zerush Ein Rav Atzibur Yecholim Lamikon that most people could not follow. It was not accepted. Only later on were they able to follow this Zerush Chazal. That's how Rashi learns. The Ramban has a different approach. The Ramban's approach was that originally they didn't have solid evidence that the Kutim were Oivdei Avodah Zarah. And since they didn't have solid evidence that the Kutim were Oivdei Avodah Zarah, they didn't accept the Gzeirah that treated them like Goyim. But as we learned earlier in our Shia today, ultimately they did have solid evidence that the Kutim were Oivdei Avodah Zarah, and once they obtained that solid evidence, they started treating them like Akum, like Goyim Gemur. Furthermore, the Rosh Yosef, in explaining our Gemara, says it's not to be understood that the Gzeirah of Rameya and Rav Gamliel was originally not accepted, and then later on it was accepted. The way to understand the Gemara, says the Rosh Yosef, it was that Amir of Asi made an entirely new Gzeirah. That the Gzeirah of Rameya and Gamliel were actually a Gzeirah that was not accepted, but the Gzeirah that came later was a new Gzeirah that was accepted. So the Gemara considered them Oivdik Chavim Gemurim. What does it mean, Oivdik Chavim Gemurim? Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzhak, Levatul Rishus, Velitin Rishus. And a word of introduction is required. We know the Midaraisa on Shabbos, one may not carry from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRavim. But to carry from a Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid is permitted. Shloima HaMelech made a rule that under certain circumstances one may not carry from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah as well. What is the circumstance? Let's say we have a house that has a number of homes, a number of condominiums owned by different owners. And then there's a courtyard or a lobby that is a common area. So even though both the apartments and the courtyard, the lobby, are all Rosh HaSayachid, there are different types of Rosh HaSayachid. Because the apartment is each person's individual property. The courtyard is a Rosh HaSayachid that belongs to many people. And in order to avoid people carrying from Shusayakah to Shusarabim, Shlomo HaMelech said one may not carry even from a more private Rosh HaSayachid to a more public Rosh HaSayachid. However, Shlomo HaMelech also came up with a way to allow carrying from a more private Rosh HaSayachid to a more public Rosh HaSayachid. And that is what is known as Aruva Chetzeris. And that is that each person, each apartment owner in the house contributes some bread, all of that bread is deposited in one of the apartments. And what that creates is that where my food is where the halacha views is where I am. And since they all have their food in one apartment, the halacha considers them all to be living together, and therefore there is no concern of carrying from a more private shusayachit to a more public shusayachit. However, Chazal also said that let's say someone did not, for the Erev Chatzeres to be effective, everyone had to contribute. And what would be if somebody didn't contribute? And it's already Shabbos. So the halacha is that he can mevatel rishus, that he could cede his ownership of his apartment. And therefore the halacha doesn't view him as a partner here. And therefore his lack of participation in the Eruv HaChatzeris will not prevent them from being able to carry. However, Chazal furthermore said that this approach of Nois Rishus or Mevat Rishus is only acceptable by Jews. It's not acceptable by Goyim. By Goyim, the only way, if there's a Goyish partner in this house, the only way that it works is if the Goy is Soicher, he rents his apartment to the other Jewish owners in this house. And the reason Chazal did this is because they wanted to prevent Jews from living with Akum. And the way they did it was that if it became so difficult to carry, and we know through our Shiurim and Shas that the Chatzar was an important part of where they lived, this was a way to prevent them from living together with Akum. The halacha is, the Mishnah Berurah and the Bi'ur Halacha says, the first one should do the schiris, first one should do the renting of the apartment from the Akum, and only afterwards should the Erev Chatzeris be made. However, b'di'evit, if they went in the other order, first they did the Eruv Chatzeris and then the schiris, it's also effective. Furthermore, the Mishnah Berurah Bi'ur Halacha says that not only is schiris effective, but if it's done through a matana, but a matana gemura, a perfectly legal gift, it's also acceptable. So our Gemara teaches us now that the Kutim were treated like the Akum, where Nesinas Rishus is not enough. You have to have a Schiris. And according to the way we've been explaining, it's very understandable. Because as we understand from our Shia today, the Kutim did not behave appropriately. They were Oivdei Avodah Zarah. So just like Chazal wanted to avoid Klai Yisrael from living with Akum, they also wanted to avoid them living with the Kutim. So it says the Gemara again, Mai Ovdei Chachamim Gemurim. What does it mean when we say that the Kutim are Ovdei Chachamim Gemurim? Says the Gemara, Arav Nachman Yitzchak, Levatel Rishus or Litin Rishus. Ukritanya, as we learned in Masech the Erevin, Yisrael Mumer, Meshav Shabta B'Shuk. If you have a Yisrael that even if he's not so observant, but he's a Shoyim Meshavis, and he didn't participate in the Ruvah Chatzeris, so it's adequate if he's Mevatel Rishus for Nois Rishus. But if it's a Yisrael that's Eina Meshavis Shabbat B'Shuk, that he's not a Shoyim Meshavis, Eina Mevatel Rishus for Nois Rishus, Nei She'omru, because Chazal taught us, by Yisrael you have this option of Nois Rishus on Mevatel Rishus, or by the Chum, by Akum, the Halacha is Achi Yiska. Ketzad, so the Gemara explains how Bitl Rishus works. Oimeloi, the Jew who did not participate in the Ruvah Chatzair, it says, Rishusi Knuyalach, Rishusi Mevatelslach Kana. Ben Chakosakos, there is no need for formal kinyan. By an Akum and a Kuti, it is required. So Mepharshim explained, now we can understand what the Gemara means when it says that they treated the Kutim like Oibdik Chavim Gemurah. What it means to say is that until now we've been learning that the Kutim are not reliable individuals. And since they're not reliable individuals, we can't use them as a shaykhit, we can't buy wine from them. But now our Gemara is teaching us, it's not just a question of their reliability. They're treated like Goyim Gemur. The Shulchan Aruch, however, says that even though our Gemara is saying that the Kutim are treated like Oduk Chavim Gemurim, that's only L'chumra. However, that's only L'kula. We don't treat them like Jews L'kula. But L'chumra, they are treated like Jews. What would that mean? For example, if a Kuti is Mekadish and woman, then a get would be required. Or, for example, there's a halacha that one may lend money to an akum with interest, to a kuti, one may not. The Shach, however, disagrees. The Shach's opinion is that since our Gemara is saying that the kutim are considered goyim gemurim, they're considered goyim gemurim both l'kula and l'chumra. Says the Gemara, Rav Zeira v'Asi iklu l'pundaka d'yoy. Rav Zeira v'Asi came to a hotel in Yoy. And a word of introduction here as well. We know that certainly produce that grows in Eretz Yisrael, we're obligated to take off from that produce trumas and maisers. But Chazal made a further gezeira that when one purchases produce from Amei Oretz, they also have to take off trumas and maisers, because there's a question, did the Amei Oretz take off the trumas and maisers, did he not? That is what is known as the Mai. And what happened here was, they came to this hotel that was obviously owned by an Am Oritz. Also Kamayu Beim Hamutzmokas B'Yayin, and they brought eggs roasted with wine. Obviously wine would be considered the Mai. Rav Zeira le'ochel, Rav Zeira didn't eat, Rav Asi ochel, and Rav Asi ate. The Mepharshim asked that the halacha is that a chaver is not allowed to remain, stay, take lodging by an Am Oritz. So if we're learning now that this individual, that's the whole basis of this Gemara, was an Am Oritz, how could they take lodging? So I saw three answers. One answer is that when the halacha is that a chaver is not allowed to remain by an Am Oritz, that's not when the Am Oritz owns a hotel. So he has a private house. But when the Am Oritz owns a hotel, even though maybe he's not that scrupulous in his observance, we could be comfortable in staying by the Am Oritz, because the Am Oritz is going to be careful to follow all the halakas, or be more careful, because he wants to have all types of Jews, even observant Jews, remain by him. Another pshat that I saw is that this din that a chaver may not remain by an Am Oritz is only regarding halakas of Tum and Tahara. By the time Rav Asi and Rav Zeira lived, they weren't makbid anymore in the halachas of Tum and Tahara, and this din doesn't apply. And a third teretz is that he was an onus. They had nowhere else to stay, and that's why they stayed there, even though perhaps they should have not stayed by Amoritz. It's also interesting to note, and the Trumas Hadeshin makes this point, that we're going to learn that Rav Asi didn't understand Rav Zeira didn't understand how Rav Zeira Rasi was able to eat this food. But what we find in the Gemara points out, the Trumas Hadeshin, is that when did Rav Zeira make this point to Rav Asi? Only after he ate. Wouldn't it make more sense that he should say before Rav Asi ate, maybe you shouldn't be eating? Why do you only say it afterwards? From here, the Trumas Hadeshin wants to suggest that perhaps a Talmud is never allowed to tell a Rebbe that he's doing the wrong thing. And Rav Zeira was Rav Asi's Talmud, and even though he thought that Rav Asi was doing the wrong thing, he wasn't allowed to say it to him, only ask him a question afterwards. However, the Trumas Hadeshin himself and other Paiskim say that it isn't specifically a Raya, for a number of reasons. Firstly, some want to suggest that Rav Zeira himself wasn't really quite sure if Rav Asi was doing the right or wrong thing. If Rav Zeira was certain that Rav Asi was doing the wrong thing, he would have told him. But he wasn't quite certain that he was doing the wrong thing, and therefore he didn't say anything to him as he was doing it. Another approach that I saw the Paiskim suggest, that it's only a Drabanan. And if, since it was only an issue of a Drabanan, that's why Rav Zeira did not say anything to Rav Asi before Rav Asi ate. But were it to be an issue of a Daraisa, he certainly would have said something. And the third approach that I saw is that, as we're going to learn in a moment, and tomorrow, Shir, that there's a concept of Hashta Behemtum Tzadikim, Ena Kodesh Baruch, maybe Tekal Al Yadayim, Tzadikim Atzmalai Kolshkein. That it was certain that Rav Asi would have never eaten something, Kodesh Baruch would have never allowed Rav Asi to eat something which wasn't kosher. Say the Paiskim, in earlier generations, indeed, Tzadikim were on that Madrega, that we can be certain that a tzaddik never ate something that wasn't kosher. But that certainly no longer is the case. And since that no longer is the case, we can't, if we see a tzaddik about to eat something, and that's why Rav Zeira was comfortable in not saying anything to Rav Asi, he just wanted to understand what Rav Asi did. But unfortunately, nowadays, we are no longer on that Madrega, and if we see even a person who's a tzaddik about to eat something which he shouldn't, we should tell him beforehand. Furthermore, Rav Yosef Engel in the Sefer Asman Deraisa makes a very strong point. He says, maybe indeed the Tvua, the produce brought from that we see from our Ma'aretz is the Mai, but maybe Rav Asi knew that this produce, the Trumas and Maestris, were properly taken from, and therefore it's Mutter. Says the Asman Deraisa, once Chazal made a gzeira that if you take produce from Nama Oritz, you have to take off Trumas and Maisris because of the Mai, it makes no longer any difference, he says, if you know or you don't know, that if you know for sure that the Amoritz took off Trumas and Maisris, because the Gzeiras Chazal remains a gzeira even when the reason isn't there. So now, said the Gemara, Amlei Rav Zeira l'Rav Asi, so Rav Zeira asked Rav Asi, V'lechai Shmala Teruvus the Mai, why are you not concerned that there's wine of the Mai mixed in here? Amalek, so Rav Asi responded, "Lav d'tay, I didn't think about it." Amar Rav Zeira, "Efshir gozra after Ruvus the Mai, is it possible that Chazal would have made a gzeira or mistai musdar of Asi l'mechli sura, and you Rav Asi would have eaten something which you're not allowed to eat?" As we just said, Hashta behemdom shel tzadikim, ena kodesh baruch hu mevi takol al yodam. But kodesh baruch hu makes sure that tzadikim shouldn't eat, the behemdom of tzadikim shouldn't eat something that they're not supposed to. Tzadikim atzmam, but kashke. So that can't, it can't be that you ate something that you weren't supposed to. So says the Gemara, nafik rav zeh redok for ashkach. He found the Tanya, halakech yayin, if somebody purchases wine from an oritz, with lois and lotach hamurius to put it into fish brine, or techalintus, a different type of dish, or kashinim, he buys tvua, lasman tchinim, adoshim, he buys beans, lasman resisim. In all of these cases, chayim mishum demai. When you buy the produce, you have to take off trumas and maisus because of demai. Beitzach loimer, and certainly mishum vadai, if you know for sure that the amorites did not take off trumas and maisus, you have to take off trumas and maisus. However, the hain atzma, if one purchased these products already in finished state, with a teruvus demai, mitarim. Nein shein teruvus. And as the Rishonim explained, as we've been saying, the entire gzeira of demai is a gzeiras chazal, and chazal chose where under certain circumstances the gzeira should be applicable, and where it shouldn't. And they said when it's a situation of a teruvus, we need not be concerned. And that's why Rav Asi, who received it as a teruvus, it was not an issue. Ask the Gemara, V'lagazra Taruvus Damai, is this true that by Taruvus there is no concern? V'tanya, the Braisa says, Anos l'shchento, if somebody has a neighbor who's an Amoritz, and they give the neighbor Isa Lefes, a dough to bake, or Kedera L'vashel, or a dish to cook, Ena Choshesh, he need not be concerned, L'sar V'tavon Shabbat, that the Amoritz replaced his kosher ingredients with his ingredients that are problematic. He need not be concerned, during the Shemitah year, Blemish Meiser, it need not be considered, could be concerned about Meiser. The Rishonim want to bring a raya from this Gemara that tavlin, that spices, also have a concern of Meiser, that there's an obligation of Meiser by tavlin as well. Other Paiskim want to make the following distinction. There are actually two types of spices. There are foods that are edible, that are used as spice, but are edible as well. Onion would be a great example. And there are foods that are used specifically and only as spices. Foods that can be eaten as a spice or as a regular food have a chiv of Trumas and Maisers. Foods that can be only used as a spice have no chiv of Trumas and Maisers. But if one says to them, Asil Chimishalchi, you use your own ingredients to make my dish. There, the halacha is choshel, sarv, tavlin, shabbat, we have to be concerned that the yeast or the spices were also because of shvius and shemaisa. So we see that when he gets the mixed, when it's a taruvas, it's still also because of the mai. Answers the Gemara Shani Hassan, the kivin the amalcha, amala, silacha, mishochi. Since he specifically gave direction to use their own ingredient, command Arbi Yadayim Dam. It's not like a taruvus. He's the Amoritz is working on my behalf. Since they're working on my behalf, you have to be careful that it's considered as if I'm using the Mai, and the Aloch is a Chaver may not use the Mai. Actually, the Rishonim say that there's another concern here. The other concern here is that the pat that's being used, is it or isn't it a kosher pat? And the Rajba says that even if we know that the pat wasn't used in the last 24 hours, and the halacha is that after 24 hours it's a nice and tam with gam, we only rely on such a heter b'diavad. And l'chatchila, one has to not only be careful about the ingredients, but he has to be careful about the pot as well. Rafa has a different approach. It could well be that's considered teruvus d'mai. And why was he machmer? Shani sar v'tavlin. Sar and tavlin are different. They're tama of it. And we have a rule, tama le bottle. The milsa vidal tama, something that's made to give taste, is never bottle. And therefore, even though it's a teruvus, he had to be more machmer. Ask the Gemara, l'chalufi l'chashinen. We're learning now that there is no concern that the Amoritz will replace my kosher ingredients with his questionable ingredients. Did we learn a Mishnah Masechet Demai, Hanoisin L'chamaisai, if somebody gives his mother-in-law ingredients to cook or bake on his behalf, Baloch is Maisa Shinoisin L'chamaisai, whatever he gives her, he has to be careful first to take off Trumas and Maisris, and whatever he receives from her, Shinoitel Menu. We have to be concerned that she replaced his ingredients with her ingredients. But we just finished learning in the Mishnah, in the Brisa that the Gemara just quoted, that we need not be concerned. Answers the Gemara Hasam to the Tani Tama. The Mishnah over there itself explains why, in that specific situation with a mother-in-law, must we be concerned. Because Amar Yehuda, Roitzi B'Takanas Bita, Abayish Mechasna. Normally, an Amoritz will not replace the ingredients that he received. Here, however, a mother-in-law, if the food that she uses with the ingredients that she served, that she received from her son-in-law, the chaver, it ends up the food got burnt or didn't come out well. She doesn't want her daughter to have to eat inferior quality food. She's embarrassed to give her son-in-law this type of food, and therefore, there we have to be concerned that she's going to make an exchange. So the Mefarshim ask, the Mishnah Masechta Demai itself says this, that this is a unique situation. So what was the Gemara's question? What was the Havamina? So Mefarshim explained, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Toiv Shochein Toiv Me'ach Rochot, that a neighbor is sometimes closer than family. And therefore, the Gemara and the Havamina thought that if by a mother-in-law we're concerned, as the Mishnah says in the Sechta Demai, for exchange, we certainly ought to be concerned for that by a neighbor. to which the Gemara said we need not to be concerned, and it's only by a modern law that this concern exists nowhere else. Ask the Gemara, is this true? The La'alma Lechashinim, by everyone else, we need not be concerned for exchange. But now, we learn, and noisily, the Kundashalai. If somebody gives a yeshiva student is staying by in a home or in a motel, and he gives her ingredients to cook for him, he has to take off Meiser from everything that he gives her and everything that he receives for her. Because again, we're concerned that they're going to make an exchange. And as the Chassam Sofer explains, once we have an individual who's an Amoritz, and he doesn't give Trumas and Maestris as he's supposed to, so he's stealing from Hashem. Because Hashem says, you do have to give Trumas and Maestris. And therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, the Gemara's concern is, just like we're concerned that he doesn't treat Hashem, so to speak, honestly, maybe he's not treating the other individual honestly as well. Answers the Gemara, there too, it's a unique situation. Hasanami, Marva Amra, she says, Babarei Rav Lecha Chamima, she prefers that the yeshiva student should eat warm food, but not Echa Kriya. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that they had great respect for Talmidei Yeshiva, and here too, if she sees that the food is not of good quality, she's prepared to eat the inferior quality food and have the Talmud Yeshiva eat the quality food. Tosfos, however, explains the Gemara just the opposite. That given that we're dealing with a woman who's an Amoritz, this woman certainly does not have a high regard for Talmidei Yeshiva. And what happened here was that the food got ruined, and she says, let him eat. Her ingredients were used to make food that didn't come out so great, and his ingredients were used for the food that came out better. And she says, I'm not going to let the yeshiva bacher eat the good food, and I'll have to eat the inferior. And that's why she makes this exchange. Ask the Gemara. So we're still saying that under normal circumstances, we're not concerned that Amoritz is going to make a switch. Ask the Gemara, is that true? The lechalufei lechashinim, the Tanya, eishes chaver techanes neishes Amoritz. The wife of a chaver could grind together with the wife of Amoritz. This way Rashi learns that when the wife of the chaver is tamei, so she avoids eating food, so we're not worried that she's going to come to eat from the Amoritz's wife's food, and therefore she could work with her. Avolav is man shetayla. But when this woman is tar, so she's not watching herself from eating, we have to be concerned that she's going to eat from the Amoritz's wife's food. With Shimon ben Elazimer, after man shetameya, even when the Eishes Chavar is Tamei, like Titchen, she may not work with the Eishes Amoritz, but she chavertim neisenos lebecheles, she may give her directly food to eat. And now, makes the Gemara's point. Here, the Eishes Amoritz is not the owner of the food. Her husband is the owner of the food. Yet we're concerned that Mikzel Gozla, she's going to steal and give the Eishes Chavar food that she doesn't own. So how can we suggest the chalufa mivayi that she won't make an exchange? Amr of Yosef, Hasnami Mari of Amra. There too, she thinks to herself, Tur midei shetaychol. We know the Torah says, Meisach mishar b'dishay, that when an animal works, you're not allowed to muzzle it. So she says, this woman is working with me, so she's certainly entitled to get from the food that she's working on. And therefore, she doesn't view it as gzeila. But in a case where it's a pure chalipin, where it's totally dishonest, the Gemara is saying we need not be concerned about Amoratzim being machal. This way Rashi explains this Gemara. Tosfos has a different explanation of this Gemara. Tosfos' explanation of Gemara is that when we speak about the person being Tamei Yatar, it's not the Eishes Chaver being Tamei Yatar, it's the Eishes Amoritz being Tamei Yatar, and Tosfos explains the Gemara accordingly. Says the Gemara, Heger Yeshua ben Zaris, Ben Chamer Sharameya Lufnei Rebbe Arameya Sha'ochel Ela Shayerg Beishan. That he ate vegetables in Beishan because he considered Beis Shan not part of Eretz Yisrael. The Hayek Rebbe, the Hitta Rebbe's Beis Shan Kula Rebbe. And based on this, they allow to treat Beis Shan not as Eretz Yisrael. And the Farshim asked, obviously, till now they have treated Beis Shan as Eretz Yisrael. How could Jethro Meir come and say that it's no longer Eretz Yisrael and everybody will accept it? So some say it wasn't Reb Meir alone, there was another person with him. Reb Shubin Zaras was with him. Two Edom on Neman. No pshat is, and this answers a different question, isn't it a situation of the Schazik Isura? And once the Schazik Isura happened to become Mutter, but what Reb Meir was saying was that their entire action were based on a wrong understanding. And therefore, once he was able to prove what they did was wrong, there was no problem. Rebbe's brothers and the other members of Rebbe's family said to Meir, Amalai, Makum Shabasech Vavaisa Vasech Nogu Isa, a place where your family had treated at Yisrael after the Tinnik Ben Heter, you now are going to say it's not treated at Yisrael and there's no obligation to take off Trumas and Isis? Darish La Mikroza, so he explained. The Pasuk says, regarding Chizkio, Chites Nechash Nechashis Asha Osa Moisha. So again he said, Eshavah Asa Vabiri. Asa was a great tzaddik and destroyed all Avodah Zarah, did not destroy this Avodah Zarah. But Yeshafet, who we discussed earlier in our parrot, was a tzaddik, the Vabiri. The Lord called Avodah Zarah Shavah, also Yeshafet Biri. We know that they destroyed all Avodah Zarah. Ella, Makam Anich Loi Lavaisa was God above. This was left for him to do. Afani, Mokum Shikri Avesai was Gadaba. So the Chassam Sofer explains the Gemara very beautifully. It's not to me, says the Chassam Sofer, that a father who wants that his son should become prominent should not do something that he's supposed to do just to leave it over for his son. Of course not. Rather, explains the Chassam Sofer, sometimes, min HaShemayim, Hashem creates a situation that later generations should understand something that earlier generations didn't understand. And he explains in our Gemara. Certainly anything which was a real Avodah Zarah, also Yoshafet destroyed. But this Nechash Nechashis clearly wasn't a real Avodah Zarah. It was actually made by Moshe Rabbeinu. And what happened here was that therefore, also Yoshafet thought that it's not an Avodah Zarah, and people aren't worshipping it as an Avodah Zarah specifically, and therefore certainly ought not to be destroyed. Chizkiyo, however, recognized that the suffix, the chance that it may be turned into an Avodah Zarah, is enough of a reason to destroy it. And that is the ability of the later Talmud Chacham to sometimes understand and see situations that earlier generations didn't see. And says the Gemara, the Kal Talmud Chacham, Shamadava Halacha, the Talmud Chacham says a new Halacha that wasn't said previously, Shema Zichron Lisoy. We don't make him retract it. Vamiloy, Emaz Nichron, so Emaz Nichron means we don't ignore him. Vamiloy, Emaz Zichron, so we don't accuse him of being arrogant that he's saying something that wasn't said earlier. Mandam Emaz Zichron, so we have three words that are very simple, similar, and the Gemara says they're all really the same. Mandam Emaz Zichron, the choshen didn't move from David. Mandam emas nichen, the ksiv klo yiznach l'olam Hashem means reject. Hashem won't reject us forever. Mandam mazichen the tanya mishirava zechuchei chaleiv, from when people were more arrogant. Rava machlokes b'Yisrael. So all of these three words can appropriately be used in our Gemara.